of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Scott Ensminger, 55, of Mansfield, Ohio, passed away on July 4th, 2013. His obituary said, a lifelong Cleveland Browns fan and season ticket holder. He also wrote a song each year and sent it to the Cleveland Browns, as well as offering other advice on how to run the team. He respectfully requests 6 Cleveland Browns pallbearers so the Browns can let him down one last time. Those of you who may not know, the Browns are notoriously bad. I checked. The Browns won 1 game this year and lost 15. But the funny part of this story is that his request was honored. The team actually sent 6 players in full uniform, helmet and all, to grant this die-hard Browns fan his request to be let down one last time. No one can argue which team this guy was on. Baptism is the marker of whose team we are on. Your baptism marks you as one of God's people. Always remember whose team you are on. Baptism stands at the center of Lutheran theology. According to Jesus' words in Matthew 28, it is one of the ways the disciples are made. Acts 2, Peter proclaimed the baptism works the forgiveness of sins. Mark 16, we are told that baptism is a means through which salvation is offered to all people. Galatians 3, Paul says that in baptism we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And in the book of Titus, we hear that baptism God works through the Holy Spirit to bring about rebirth and renewal. To put it simply, the Word of God connected to the water of holy baptism, the Spirit delivers everything that Jesus died to give us and creates faith in us to receive His gifts. Holy baptism is one of the most vital and critical teachings of the Christian faith. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, the day our Lord Jesus stood before his cousin John in the Jordan River and submitted to John's baptism. 2 Sundays ago we celebrated Jesus' birth. Last Sunday, his name. If this were a movie, at the bottom of the screen would appear the words, 30 years later, Jesus stands in the Jordan River, elbow to elbow with repentant sinners to be baptized. Initially, John wanted nothing to do with it. This stood against everything that John had been preaching. John said that the coming one was so great, that mighty, that he was not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. And then comes the coming one, Jesus, standing before John, bowing his sinless head, seeking to be washed in this bath of forgiveness. Jesus stands there in the water, next to the tax collectors and the prostitutes, the rejects, all sinners, as though he is one of them. John is outraged, and initially, no, Jesus, this is backwards. I need to be baptized by you, but you are coming to me? That's upside down, inside out, totally backwards. That's not how a respectable Messiah acts. That's not how a Messiah is supposed to behave. So get out of this water, back on dry land, before anyone notices that you're here, because when they do, they're going to get all the wrong ideas. This is no way to start a religious revolution, you getting baptized. But Jesus answered John with a very telling sentence and explains exactly what was going on in this baptism. "Let it be so, John. Let it be. Let go of any notions you might have of who I am and how I am supposed to work. It is fitting, proper, it's the right thing for us to fulfill all righteousness. This is how it goes on, John. I get baptized like a sinner. I become sin for you, for all these people in the water with me, for the world. This is how all righteousness is fulfilled." And John consented. The sinless Son of God is baptized as a sinner to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus gets dirty, if you will, getting in the knee-deep, murky waters of the Jordan, like a football team taking a bath, and you're the last one in, you're cleaner before you get in. Jesus gets in there with all the muck and the dirt of our sin, in a world that lives in denial, among people who insist they have no sin. Jesus comes to be treated like a sinner. It's been going on all along, from his birth to his circumcision to his presentation in the temple when he was 40 days old, and here in the water, in the waters of the Jordan. Jesus is walking our walk, the way of the sinner in need of forgiveness. This is how he fulfills all righteousness. The sinless one becomes sin, so that in him, baptized into his death, we might become the righteousness of God. The beloved Son is the beloved servant of Isaiah, the one who suffers for the sins of the people. "Behold, my servant with whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. And behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed." That servant, God's Son, who came not to be served, but to serve and lay down his life. Jesus' baptism lays a cross on him. He says, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." His baptism among sinners takes him to Calvary's cross, where he dies bearing the sin of the world. For this he is anointed with the Spirit, visibly approved by God, the Father who sent him. This is the Father's delight. The sinless Son should stand in solidarity with sinners in order to save them. When he dies, the curtain is torn in two, ripped open, in the same way the heavens were ripped open at his baptism. It's finished. It's accomplished. All is done to fulfill all righteousness. Baptism brings the cross and all that the cross will bring to bear upon him. So you, steeped in sin, condemned by God's law, there is no way for you to save yourself. You are born in sin. Dust you are. Sin is our Lord and Master from birth. In fact, we are held captive to sin, and we cannot free ourselves even if we wanted to. And for this, Christ came, was baptized, and died, and rose. He was baptized into your sin, so that you might be baptized into his righteousness. He was baptized to become the sinner in this world, so that you might be baptized a saint in his kingdom. We're told, or you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death. Baptism is the active agent. By baptism we are joined to Jesus' death, buried with him. Water, word, and spirit, born anew, from above, a new creation. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in newness of life. God declared it in his word. And when God says it, it is so. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to live baptismally, to live as one of God's baptized. Yes, you and I sin. That's true. But Paul reminds us, that's not you doing it, but sin that dwells in you. Drown the thing in baptism. When your brother sins, when your sins bother you, oppress you, cause you to doubt, say with Luther, "Nevertheless, I am baptized." Water, word, and spirit. Essentially, what Jesus is doing and is saying today is, I am on your side. God will not let you down. His promises are there, never to leave you, never to forsake you. You are his. In fact, God will raise you up. He will call your name, and you will rise from your grave. You are his precious child. There is hope. You are baptized. Resurrection day is coming. In Jesus' name, amen.